Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here for what ended up being kind of a strange news day for Tesla. We had a fake report about Tesla acquiring a lithium mining company. There's also this supposed product roadmap thing going around. We'll talk about both of those things. We've also got an updated note from Morgan Stanley, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Austin-made Model Y and a couple updates from Ford. Looking at the markets, not a whole lot to say. Pretty much a steady increase across the board today with the NASDAQ finishing up 2%, which has become all too common this year, that sort of volatility. Tesla finishing up 3.6%, which again just feels normal at this point, to close at $1,022.37 on one of the lowest volume days so far this year, about 18 million shares traded. We won't spend as much time on this as we did the CPI yesterday, but today the Producer Price Index, or PPI, did come out before market open. To me, this one seemed a little bit less mixed than some of the findings from the CPI that we had talked about yesterday. A lot of high numbers in here. Remember, the PPI basically measures the prices that wholesalers within the United States are paying. Just like the CPI, this is the report for March, and in March, the producer price index rose by 1.4% above February. As we can see from the chart, that was the sharpest month-over-month increase in at least the last year, probably significantly more than that. And then on a year-over-year basis, the PPI was up 11.2%. That is the largest year-over-year increase since this started being tracked in 2010. Just like the CPI, we're starting to get into a period where the comparisons from last year already had significant increases. So last March, the PPI was up about 4%. It then took a pretty big step up for April and continued to steadily rise in terms of the year-over-year comparisons since then. Anyway, these numbers did come in higher than expectations. So that 1.4% increase month over month, that compared to Dow Jones estimates of 1.1%. And then core PPI, which excludes food, energy, and trade services, that increased by 0.9% month over month versus expectations of 0.5%. All right, moving on from that, I think a lot of the excitement around Tesla today had to do with some fake news relating to a microcap lithium mining company, Lithium Corporation. This all seemed to stem from a supposed press release published by News Channel Nebraska of Southeast Nebraska, which yesterday, shortly before market close, published a headline that said Tesla has acquired Lithium Corporation. It said that Tesla had confirmed this, which already should be a red flag. Then it also threw in some older quotes that Elon had said about lithium mining, which are not at all related to an acquisition, obviously, because they're older, and then threw in some context from Battery Day for good measure. Another red flag, News Channel Nebraska also lists this as sponsored advertising content, which would be, I think, somewhat strange to do for a press release, and they list the press release as being distributed by abnewswire.com. That press release is still viewable on AB Newswire. This headline yesterday was then also picked up by Benzinga and MarketWatch. That starts to give the impression that there's some sort of confirmation that this news is accurate. You start seeing it in multiple places. Still, though, not much reaction in the stock until this morning. Sawyer Merritt did tweet this out as news being confirmed by Tesla citing these sources. And a few minutes later, the stock ends up tripling. Bloomberg does a little bit of research. They confirm with the supposed agency that released this press release that it was not from them. This gets updated as fake news, and the stock falls right back down. All this taking place in the course of about an hour. So if you've never seen a pump and dump before, well, there you go. That's how they work. Fake news gets shared out, gets picked up by a couple of these algorithm-based bot services. People get confused, and then social media, where fact-checking's not even really second fiddle, ignites it, and it's off to the races. Lithium Corporation stock today had about 100 times its average volume traded. So even though this was fake and Lithium Corporation did eventually release a press release saying that they have not received so much as an expression of interest from Tesla, and that although they would be happy to chat with Elon if he was inclined, there presently is no relationship between the two companies, I still think it's valuable to spend a couple of minutes on this, just go through exactly what happened, so the next time a scheme like this is orchestrated, people have a better understanding of what to look out for. That segues nicely into our next topic here, which was a supposed leak of Tesla's product roadmap here in the United States. There was an image shared out on Twitter today that was dubbed as breaking news, Tesla's product roadmap leaked. The attached image looks like somebody took a picture of an actual computer monitor. They blurred out some sections, definitely has the feel of a leaked image. But as it turns out, this is not a Tesla document or anything like that. This is from a company called AutoForecast Solutions, which, as the name implies, a big part of their business is forecasting. It also turns out that this supposed leaked document is available in its entirety online. It's got information on all automakers, not just Tesla. If we do look at what they have for Tesla, though, there were two items that caught people's attention the most, both in the Cybertruck category. So they list the Tesla Cybertruck, they've got a column for SOP or start of production, and they list that as October 2nd, 2023. Now, we already have the context that this is not a Tesla document, so that should shed doubt on that date in the first place. But to add to that, we can see that they are clearly making their own forecast here, because under the Tesla Model Y, they list the end of production for the current versions for both Fremont and Texas within about a month of each other in 2026 and early 2027. They then have updated versions of both starting on very specific dates in 2027. So I think that should make it pretty clear that the dates that they have in here are, as they say in the name of their business, forecasts. Tesla themselves have probably not even plotted out a Model Y refresh for that exact period of time, let alone shared that information with suppliers where it could then end up in consultancies' hands. And I'll say that it doesn't make any sense for them to end the production on Model Y at Texas and Fremont at the exact same time. Already right now, these are very different vehicles, so no reason to tie them together like that. And then why would you take down your entire production at the exact same time when you could easily just stagger it and not have it be as detrimental? I mean, we just heard Elon Musk say that they made some mistakes in how they managed the S and the X refresh, and that has some of those same qualities. So point being, I'm not putting a whole lot of weight in that October date. They may have some insight from suppliers, so I'm not saying to put zero weight on it, but the last rumor that we had heard was that Tesla was targeting start of production in early 2023. Always probably safer to set expectations back a little bit, and maybe that's just what they're doing in this case. Anyway, the other noteworthy item from this document is that they do have a line for a Tesla van. They have the start of production on that as January 2nd, 2024. For this, I would pretty much echo the same comments. Maybe they've got some insight from suppliers, but personally, I'm not putting much stock in that. I think that's probably just their own expectations, and I would also note that they do list program names here, and they have things for the Cybertruck like Everest, Highland, and Model E for the Model 3. And then for the so-called Tesla van, they just list van. So that doesn't suggest any particularly strong insight in that particular line. So yes, maybe we see a Tesla van around that time. Some people would have guessed that anyway. I don't think this raises my expectations around that at all. All that being said, I did try to call this company like 3 times today to just get clarification on what exactly this means to them. Wasn't able to get through, but I'll try to remember to give that a couple more shots. Last thing I'll say on this is that they say they forecast things out for 7 years, and I don't see any dedicated robotaxi on here. I don't see any other gigafactories in the United States on here. So even though they are clearly projecting out some Tesla vehicles for those periods of time, as we talked about with the Model Y, I would not say that this looks like a fully complete list to me. All right, next up, I just wanted to briefly talk a little bit more about the Austin-made Model Ys. There's been some debate on Twitter, on YouTube comments, on if this new 279-mile standard range Model Y is perhaps a lithium iron phosphate pack, whether that be non-4680 or lithium iron phosphate in the 4680 form factor. Obviously, we don't know, but so far, all of my discussion has been based on the assumption that these are 4680s, and they are, to an extent at least, nickel-based rather than lithium iron phosphate. So I just wanted to clarify why that is my assumption, why I feel pretty strongly about that point of view. For that, we can look to the Q4 earnings call where they discussed this pretty directly. Elon saying that, quote, "So in Texas, we're building the Model Ys with the structural battery pack and the 4680 cells, and we'll start delivering after final certification of the vehicle, which should be fairly soon," end quote. This was before we saw the 279-mile range version pop up from the EPA. Then Drew went on to add that, quote, "We're building 4680 structural packs every day, which are being assembled into vehicles in Texas. I was driving one yesterday and the day before, and we believe our first 4680 vehicles will be delivered this quarter," end quote. All right, so clearly building 4680 Model Ys, that matches up to comments that they had previously said about Austin starting with 4680, but Berlin starting with 2170. Both Elon and Drew said that they would be delivering those vehicles soon, with Drew saying, hopefully this quarter, and that was in Q1. So a few days into the second quarter, they start delivering these vehicles. Why would we assume that they are anything else? As for iron-based, on the same call, Elon said, yeah, we don't use 4680 at all for the iron cells. The transcript there says iron upgrade cells. He didn't say upgrade. I couldn't quite catch what he had said there, but was not upgrade. But he was definitely talking about lithium iron phosphate, and Drew immediately following that confirmed that no, they're not doing that for 4680. So it seems pretty clear that these are 4680 vehicles. That also matches the rumors that we heard from the Cyber Rodeo from some employees. There were multiple reports on that. So if they're 4680, it's very clear from the comments by Elon and Drew that they are not lithium iron phosphate. So we're left with them being 4680 nickel-based cells. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be a different chemistry from what they're using in the 2170s for the long-range Model Y. It's possible. I don't think it's likely. I think what's most likely is there's just something weird with this EPA data that eventually we'll figure out. But what I am quite confident of is that these are not lithium iron phosphate vehicles. So those are my thoughts on that debate. If I'm wrong, feel free to call me out on that later. All right, last couple of things here. First, we've got a new note from Morgan Stanley. This seems like increasingly just a stream of Adam Jonas's consciousness. We've got so many notes now from Morgan Stanley, but hey, it's a pretty light news day, at least in terms of real news. So we'll go through this at a high level, and I think just kind of the opening statement is indicative of the value of the note. It says that we believe the next 12 months will show investors how Tesla and the broader auto industry are vital to transition off the fossil fuel economy and into the renewable economy. I mean, who ever thought that automakers weren't important in that transition? I can't really understand how anyone would have ever held that point of view, especially at this point. And yeah, again, that's the opening statement for this note. Anyway, it goes on to make 5 points, the first of which is that Tesla is overvalued and Tesla is undervalued at the same time. Nothing new there. Jonas is saying that Tesla is overvalued as a pure car company, but undervalued when you bring in some other elements. He also talks about war and inflation equals energy innovation. That I do agree with. We've talked about that plenty. The third point, investors are starting to appreciate the advantages Tesla has in going direct to consumer, while legacy OEMs are prohibited from doing so by powerful state dealer franchise laws. Well, those affect Tesla as well. There's some data here that shows that EV sales are up and that legacy sales are down, and that's used to support this. That's not just because of the dealership situation. The fourth point just talks about how there's going to be a lot of capital being invested in batteries and renewable energy over the next decade. I think we all understand that. And then the fifth point, really just talking about how it's all about the battery capacity, which Tesla and Tesla investors have been mentioning for years. So again, nothing to really pull out of that note. Then the last thing we've got today is a couple of updates from Ford. Jim Farley today tweeting out that it is time, hashtag F-150 Lightning, and a date of April 26th, 2022. There's also a link to the Ford F-150 Lightning page, and it includes a countdown to that date when they are calling it their official launch of this vehicle. So it looks like probably first deliveries of the F-150 Lightning in about 2 weeks. Farley had also tweeted out yesterday to mark your calendar for April 20th. Of course, we know that is the date for Tesla earnings, but Ford will also be unveiling an EV concept under the Lincoln brand on that date as well. All right, so that is it for today. Sorry if you picked up on some rain in the background here at the end. It's raining pretty hard here, but as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, April 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.